Welcome to Action Chapel International. We are one church in many locations worldwide. We are so excited that you took the time to join us today to feed on God's Word and to enrich your spirit. We know that your life will never be the same. Now please join us for this powerful message.
Please lift up your hands and say in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we have come once again at your feet. Receive instructions to be illuminated, enlightened in the knowledge of your word, to be empowered, freed up, disentangled in the name of Jesus, to go forward, to accomplish the reason for our being. Therefore, Spirit of the living God, we deploy you to move on this service. Have your way. Break down barriers. Remove obstacles. Let chains break. Let yokes break. Let embargoes be lifted. Let sanctions be removed. Let every spell cast on us, on the house, on the atmosphere, break in the name of Jesus. O Spirit of the living God, like never before, do a new thing in all of our hearts, our lives, and our mind. In Jesus' name, Satan, take your hands off. Take your hands off my mind, my body, the atmosphere. Say, I block every evil eye. I rebuke every projection and imagination of the enemy over my life, my family, my loved ones, and this house. In the name of Jesus, put your hands together, give God praise, and a shout in the house. Last Sunday, we spoke on restoring honor, the importance of the Father, and the three kinds of fathers: our Heavenly Father, our Spiritual Father, and our Earthly Fathers. This morning I want to shift, as much as I wanted to continue the message on the Father factor, which we will, God giving us grace. But this morning I want to talk to you on a different subject. I feel very strongly impressed by the Spirit to challenge somebody and to have somebody leave this service fired up, charged, motivated, illuminated, living here and going to the marketplace as a wild lion to devour and take back what is yours. Hallelujah. I'd like to talk to you this morning on a subject I entitled Contend for the Promise. Contend for the Promise. Come with me, if you please, to Luke, the 22nd chapter, reading the 31st to the 32nd verse of Luke 22, 31 to 32.
And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren.
There are some insights and some technicality here that we just read. Number one, understand that Satan asks for the life of Peter. You can't take the life of a child of God without permission. You must ask for it. And that's why the enemy tries to get us to break the rules, because anytime the rules are broken, you open yourself up, and that's why it's always necessary to plead the blood and invoke divine mercy and obtain pardon to rebuke the adversary. But Satan, after he saw God's plan for the life of Peter and the fact that Peter was able to connect to heaven and divine or what I call advanced knowledge or information was given unto Peter, Satan therefore desired Peter or wanted Peter and went to Jesus to ask for Peter's life, that I want Peter. And Jesus said, request for Peter denied. May any request the enemy has made on your life and on the life of your seed, your children, be denied. Any request made on your health, your finances, your future, your investment, this house, this nation, let that request be denied. In the name of Jesus. Then Jesus revealed Satan's intent and said, somebody place your hand on your mind, on your head. Say, I block mental bombardment. I block any form of distractions. I block any interference in my thought pattern. I block mind-controlling spirits through projections, spells, and manipulations. I override it in the name of Jesus. Say, I secure my mind in Jesus' name. Amen. Give God praise. Put your hands together. We are not ignorant of his devices. So Jesus revealed to Peter and said, Peter, Satan have desired you or asked for you. And you must look at exactly what he asked for. He didn't ask for Peter's help. He didn't ask for his peace. He didn't ask for his money. Even though all those things can come under attack, and they are indirect attack on your faith. But what he had asked for was Peter's faith. And Jesus said, Satan came for you. And what he wanted of you was your faith. But I have prayed that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen others. One of the reasons why Satan attacks our faith is because faith is one of the vehicles that brings from eternity into time physical, tangible manifestations of what exists in the realms of the spirit of eternity for you and I. Faith is the vehicle or the channel through which everything that is embedded in the testament as a promise of God for you and I is made manifest. It's like getting up here to go to America without a ship or a plane. You can't do it. You never get there. You need a ship. You need a plane to get to the United States. You will never get there without a plane or a ship. Without faith, you can never accomplish anything in life as a believer. For it is impossible to please God. It's impossible to please God without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What is faith then? Faith is a spiritual force. Faith is a spiritual force that gives the believer divine capabilities, that causes ordinary men to do extraordinary things. Faith is a spiritual audacity that allows you to stand in defiance of the enemy and all odds. Faith allows you to stand in the face of adversity. And in the name of Jesus, say, you can't have me, you can't override me. I stand my ground. Stand down. And the enemy must stand down. Somebody say, in the name of Jesus, I command every enemy force, stand down. In Jesus' name. Faith gives you the audacity to do so. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And he that comes to God must believe that God is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that's why the enemy wants your faith, Because if he can attack your faith, if he can steal your faith, if he can weaken your faith, if he can take away your faith, then you are shipwrecked. Faith. A faith that is alive is like this TV right now. You can see me in action. This TV is potent. It's alive. And there's a reason why it's alive. And you can see activities and movement and can press, you know, to different channels. You switch to different channels. Because it's alive. And it's alive because it's connected. Say connected. I need somebody to come quickly help me do this. I want you to disconnect it. It's disconnected. Give me the clock. You see? It's out. It's disconnected. It's disconnected from the source of power. So this telly is there, but it's of no use. It's ineffective. No show, no action, no activity, no testimony, nothing. And that is the state of a lot of you, because your faith has been disconnected from the source. The enemy has succeeded to discredit the word of God and discredit the promise by making you weary and tired, to make you believe that it's not worth fighting anymore for what God said, that the scriptures cannot be true, because if by his stripes you were healed, were means past tense. If you were, then you are. So if I was healed and I am healed, why am I sick? Why am I struggling with infirmity? Why am I struggling with corruption? And why am I struggling with depression, oppression, afflictions, and all these demonic activities of illness? Why am I not healed if the word is true? He became poor that we might become rich. Why am I then broke? I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul is prospering. So if it is true, why am I not prospering? Why are things difficult? Why is it that I can't pay my bills and eat what I want to eat, buy what I want to buy, live what I want to live, and do what I want to do? Why am I limited? Why am I restricted? It is the plan of the enemy to contest the promise, raise contention, dispute over what God has promised you, over what God said is yours, put up a fight, put up a resistance, and discredit the word of God, delay, prolong the manifestation of your promise, and get you battle weary, shipwreck your faith, get you to give up, get you to a place where you relinquish your rights and accept your circumstances, that is what it is. The word of God cannot be true, because if God says he will satisfy me with long life, why are young people dying when long life is a promise of God and God cannot lie? That is the trick of the enemy, and a lot of believers do not understand why the enemy does what he does. The enemy comes against the promise. He's not interested in you. He's interested in the promise. He puts up a fight because he's God's number one enemy. And so when he attacks, block the promise. Raise contention over the promise. As long as there is dispute over the will, your father might have left the whole world to you. You can't access it, because the will is under dispute in court. And until the case is settled, you may be the richest young man or woman in town. You can't access anything. Today, under the auspices of the Holy Ghost, by divine authority, from the throne room perspective, I declare in the name of Jesus that your father's wish in his will is hereby enforced. Case dismissed, all disputes lifted, and that I rule in your favor, that whatever the will says is yours, so you can go home and take possession of your inheritance. If you believe it, put your hands together, open your mouth, give God some praise. Sit down for 2 minutes. Come with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Tell somebody, do you know how wealthy you are? Tell somebody, you, do you know how wealthy you are? Tell somebody, you don't know who you are. You know, a few years ago we lost somebody in this church that was very blessed. And they went to court, and they were in court for 9 months. And when I saw the stress on the family and what was going on, I requested from the court that the case should be brought to me. And I said to the judge to send the case to me and give me 1 month to see if I can work with them. And if I'm unable to accomplish anything, the case then can go back to the court. So the judge referred the case to me after 9 months in court. And they brought me the case with about 5 lawyers and the kids and everybody. And I said to them, I gave them examples of families that I wouldn't want to mention names, who have been dead for 10 years, 20, 30 years, and their will is still under dispute in the court of law. And as much as they've left properties and wealth and fortunes for their kids, their children can't access any of their father's fortunes. And they are walking the earth poor, broke, like puppets. Even though they have everything, they can't have it. And their fathers will not come from their graves to enforce their wishes, because the will is enough. It explains the wishes of their fathers. And so it is left to the children to deploy every necessary means and weapon to enforce their father's will, because a testament or a will is a force that goes into effect after men are dead. And I'm going to ask you a question this Sunday morning. Is your father's will worth fighting for? And is your inheritance worth fighting for? And if it is yes, then I need some attitude from you. And if it is yes, then I need you to stop being tired, stop being discouraged, and stop being worried, and put up a fight. Somebody say fight. Come with me to Hebrews chapter 9, from verse 13 to 18.
For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption...
He is the mediator of the New Testament. There is a testament which stands as a will. Testament means a will. There is a will for you and I. And in that will are great promises, fortunes embedded in that will. And the will is very specific, that you are the head and not the tail, that you are above and not beneath, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, that you will not borrow but you will lend, that you are blessed going out, that you are blessed coming in, and that you cannot be sick. The will is very specific, and yet there is a contention and a dispute over the will. I mentioned 10 families when the case was brought to my office, and I said, these families, their fathers have died, some 20, 30 years, some are in this church, and their will is still in dispute at the court of law. Their children see their father's properties every day. They pass by it, but they can't access it. They've left millions in their bank account that belongs to these kids, and they can't access it because there is a dispute over the will. And their fathers can't come back from the grave to enforce it. And I've seen young men and women worth millions of dollars and cities walking as puppets and beggars because their will is under dispute. So they can't access what is theirs. Some have died and gone, and their children have come and still fighting over their grandfather's will, and the kid is still in court. And the properties are standing there. I was in Nigeria some years ago. I won't mention this name of a very wealthy man. On the way to Ikoyi, you see these beautiful houses, buildings, all the windows, doors, everything is gone. The children fighting, some took windows, some took doors, some took the toilet, some took this, some took that, and they stripped the whole building. And they are still in court fighting, and they are broke. And I said to them, you've been in court for 9 months already. We can cut a deal, and everybody can walk as millionaires. And you may not have everything you want, but you have something, and you walk. Or you can be in court and fight, and each one of you die one by one, and nobody will benefit and profit of what is yours. And within 1 month, we cut a deal, and everybody walked, loaded, and sent it to court. And the judge enforced the decision and the deal in their books, and that was it. Within 1 month, we finished it. Today, you can walk with what is yours by activating your faith, by waking up and saying, it's worth fighting for my father's will and my inheritance. And I'm not letting any devil, any witch, any principality, any power, any sickness, disease, or anything take from me what is mine. Today, you can take possession of what is yours by activating your faith. Are you hearing me, somebody? Shout yes. Yes. Sit down for 2 minutes. I want you to know that whatever God promised you and I is already done. He's not trying to do it. It's not something that is now going to be done. It's already done. Tell somebody, it's a done deal. It's done. Now, when he says by his stripes you are healed, it's done. It is your responsibility and mine to appropriate it by faith. And your faith is under attack. That's why the enemy wants to attack your faith and my faith. So that you relinquish your rights to what is yours. But I refuse to live as a puppet. For it is written, I have seen princes walk barefooted on the earth, and servants riding on the back of horses. Today and this week, let everyone riding on your horse get off your horse. Say in the name of Jesus, get off my horse, get off my horse. Say, I'm taking full possession of my inheritance by divine authority. I activate my faith. I command a resurrection of my faith. Say, faith, come alive again in Jesus' name. Give God some praise in the house. Sit down for a minute. Please finish.
And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, They which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood.
I want you to hear me. Jesus said the other day, it is expedient for me to go. Because if I go not away, the promise of the Father the Holy Ghost will not come unto you. Because a will is a force that goes into effect after men are dead. So Jesus said, the only way the Holy Ghost can come to you and help you take possession of everything I've done for you is for me to leave the scene. And he said, Jesus said, when he left the scene, then the Holy Ghost can come. You see, when man dies, like my dad, he made me an executor of his will. So the Holy Ghost is an executor of the New Testament to ensure that everything embedded in that will for you and I, that we are empowered to take possession of it. The Holy Ghost ensures that by the anointing, he empowers you and I to enforce what God has said about you and I in the will. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody, put your hands together. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout, Holy Ghost. Now, in our situation, it's a little bit different from all other situations. In all other situations, whoever made the will, when they die, they don't rise again. And the will can be on that dispute for 100 years, and there's nothing they can do about it. But in our situation, the man that made the will, he didn't just die, he arose. And he ever lives to make intercession, to make sure that everything he has promised us comes to pass. He ever lives to make intercession. Ladies and gentlemen, he's alive. I said he's alive. He's alive. And if you believe he's alive, give him a shout and put your hands together. He's alive. Give somebody a high five and say he's alive. Now, what is in this will? What is in this will? What is embedded in this will? Come with me to 2 Peter 1 and 3. 2 Peter 1 and 3.
According as his divine power.
According as his divine power.
Have given unto us all things.
Some things.
No, sir.
Some things.
No.
Have things.
No.
But what?
All things that pertain.
You don't look like somebody who has all things. You look like a pauper. You look like broke. Because if you look like somebody, if you believe that you are a partaker of all things, you won't sit down the way you are sitting down. Huh? According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertaineth to some areas of life. But pertaineth to what?
To life and godliness.
And what?
Godliness.
Eh?
Through the knowledge of him that through has what? Called us.
Through what?
The knowledge of him.
Through what?
The knowledge of him.
Through illumination. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The inability to know. You see, you can't recover what you haven't discovered. You can't confront what you don't see. And you can't conquer what you don't confront. Look at Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. Look at something. That the God.
That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ,
the Father of glory,
the Father of glory,
may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. 18, go ahead.
That the eyes of our of your understanding being
illuminated. See, I destroy the blindness. See, I remove the veil. See, I remove the veil. See, Satan's plan is to blind us, is to keep us in the dark. As long as you are in the dark of your father's will, inheritance, and promise for your life, you can be a financial mogul according to the will, an oil shake, a business tycoon. Are you hearing me, somebody? And yet be broke and work as a puppet because you lack revelation of what is in the wheel. You don't know what is in the wheel. And even if you know what is in the wheel, somebody, a brother, a cousin, a sibling can put up a fight and take to court and raise a contention and a dispute over your father's will. As long as the will is in question and is in court on that dispute, everything your father has promised you is in the will, but you can't access it. And that is the problem in the church. Everything that pertains to life and godliness is already given. Yet there is a dispute over the testament. Satan has put up a fight to discredit the promise by delaying the manifestation, by prolonging the manifestation, through attacking your faith, making you battle weary. And then you quit, you get depressed, you get weary, you get tired, and you give up the fight. But if your father's will is worth fighting for, then I need somebody to have a fight in you. I want somebody to have a fight in you. And I don't care who the lawyer is. I don't care who the lawyer of the opponent is. If you believe that your father's will and your inheritance is worth fighting for, then find the best lawyer in town. Cut a deal. Deploy everything and every means possible. Fight for your inheritance. Put up a fight for your father's will. Don't let any slave and servant and some stranger come and take what is yours. Are you hearing me, somebody? Say in the name of Jesus. Satan, take your hands off my inheritance. Take your hands off my inheritance. Put your hands together and give God some praise. All things that pertains to life. See now, I'll show you another scripture. Go to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12. Let me show you something quickly.
Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power.
Receive what?
Power.
Power for who? He didn't need power. He is the source of power. For he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came unto the world he created, and they knew him not. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. He didn't need power. He came to receive power for you and I. These things were ours and we lost it. Psalm 8. The Bible said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou crowns him with glory and with honor, and has given him dominion over all the works of thy hands. What is man? We lost the honor. We lost the glory. We lost the dominion. He came back on the scene into the equation, put up a fight, and took it back. Receive it for you and I. Are you hearing me? Let's see the things he received for you and I that belongs to us, and it is in the will, but we are not accessing it because somebody has put up a fight that it is not yours and you have allowed it. Go ahead.
Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power.
Power.
And riches.
Riches.
And wisdom.
Wisdom.
And strength.
Strength.
And honor.
Honor.
And glory.
Glory.
And blessing.
And blessings. All this is part of your inheritance. Do you know all of these things are part of your inheritance and you haven't accessed it? You know why you haven't accessed it? Because there is an adversary, an enemy, who hates seeing you having your inheritance. He wants your inheritance to go to a stranger. He wants your inheritance to go to somebody else. So he throws everything at your feet and gets you to feel unworthy. Get you to believe that you don't have what it takes to have what your father said is yours. But I came to tell you today, I have my father's DNA. I have my father's DNA. And I will have what my father says is mine. I'll have wisdom. I'll have knowledge. I'll have power. I'll have strength. I'll have honor, glory, blessing. They are mine. And I'm taking possession of it. And I come against every resistance to the promise. You can sit there and look at me. It's your business. You see, in life, people are where they are for a reason. And they are who they are for a reason. And some of you, when you get to heaven, an angel will pull a curtain and will show you what was yours when you were here on earth and how you did not access even 5% of it. And you find yourself in heaven and you don't need those things in heaven. But when you were here on earth, you needed every one of them. But because of the inability to put up a fight and the inability to stand your ground, and because you did not know the value of your father's will, and you didn't know the value of your inheritance, you relinquish your rights, you gave up what was yours, you became lazy, fearful, intimidated, and allow some devil to threaten you, and you gave up what is yours, and you get to heaven, and an angel will tell you, when you were on earth, all these things you see was meant for you on earth. Hear me. I'm not some crazy preacher. And when I hear people say, when they hear all these teachings on grace and prosperity and faith, and they think that Charlie is some new revelation, you are a shegelele. There's nothing new. There's nothing new. The fact that there is grace and we're under grace don't mean that faith has ceased existing, and don't mean that there is no warfare. Don't mean that Satan has ceased existing. You are joking. Don't be fooled. And I've seen a lot of people just walk in the grace message, faith message, and the devil is just killing, messing up their lives and their families because they don't understand the rules of engagement. Just think the message of grace, the grace is sufficient. Do you know what grace is? Do you understand what grace is? Jesus was the grace of God made manifest. And yet, he had to deal with the devil. Yet, he himself prayed. Yet, he himself engaged Satan. And you want to tell me that you have and even Paul, who was the one that brought the Pauline revelation, he was the one that revealed Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heaven. Who brought that revelation? It was Paul. And who brought the revelation of grace? Paul. We need to balance this thing. To balance it. You think, you know, people, sometimes I look at people, you think I just want to fight. I don't like fighting. You think I go around looking for devils. I don't look for devils. I don't look for devils and dragons. That's not my job. I'm just interested in my inheritance. What God has promised me. And anyone that engages it, I will engage you. I'm telling you, I'm not afraid of who you are. You engage me over my promise, I'll put up a fight. Because I believe the promise. I believe God. And I am not afraid of who you are. You put up a fight and you contend over my inheritance and my promise. I will stand my ground and put up a fight also. Are you hearing me, somebody? Put your hands together. Somebody shout, yeah. The promise is mine. The promise is yours. It's done. Your father is not going to come from the grave to enforce his wish. It's already done. It's clear. It's written. It's in the will. It's required of you to stand your ground and enforce it. And make sure your inheritance doesn't go to anybody. No matter how long it has taken, people, through patience, faith, and understanding, they stand their ground till the case is settled in their favor. I declare that the case will be settled in your favor. It will be ruled in your favor. Your inheritance will not go to someone else. If you stand your ground, you will come into your full inheritance. But if you give up, you will lose it. The Bible said, ye have need of patience. What is patience? Stamina. What is patience? Steadfastness. You have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might obtain the promise. You can't have the promise. Tell somebody, it's too dangerous. Shake your head and say, it's too dangerous to give up early. So many of you have given up because you are battle weary. The enemy has thrown everything at your faith, that you are hearing the word of God, but you don't believe it. You can't even believe anything anymore because you've come under so much fire. Nothing works in your life. Everything has fallen apart. And you have come to a place and say, God, if all this preaching is true, how come nothing is working for me? Your father's will is true, but as long as there's contention over the will, you can't access it. You have to overcome the situation. The case must be settled. Today, by the blood of the covenant, we are settling the case. Every contention and dispute, let it be settled right now. Let your father's will be enforced. In the name of Jesus, Satan, take your hands up, put your hands together, and by the blood of the covenant, say, I settle the case. I settle it. I settle the case. It is settled in my favor. Amen. Come with me. Hebrews 11 and 6. Hebrews 11 and 6.
But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why your faith is under attack is because the enemy understands that without faith it's impossible to please God. You displease God when you demonstrate doubt and unbelief. And I don't care how long you fought. My God Almighty, I believe in my Heavenly Father's will for my life. He said, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. And I receive it and prosper as your soul prospers. And I'm prospering. And I don't care your definition of prosperity, nor health. And I don't care what the enemy throws at my health. I block it. I interrupt it. I override it. I stand fast against it. In the name of Jesus. The enemy's assignment is to attack your faith and discredit the word of God, and get you to disconnect from the source of power. And when you disconnect your faith from the source, you are dead. You can be in church, give everything, sing, shout, scream, but there's no show. Come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the 13th verse.
For having the same spirit of faith.
13 and 14. Yeah, 13th verse. Thank you.
We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written,
I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. Hear me. This kind of mentality where some of you believe in silence prayers. There is no silence prayer. Stop all these religious gimmicks. Our Father, our help in ages past, our help in years to come. Thou knowest all things. You know what I mean? No, he doesn't know what you mean. Some of the prayers, when it comes to what God has promised and will for you, you don't go and say, Father, they are fighting your will. They say it's not true. They say they don't want me to have it. Your father is gone. It's left to you to deploy every weapon necessary to fight for that thing to come to pass. So you don't go and worry God. You engage the enemy. That's why the Bible said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Deploy the weapons of warfare. The name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. The scriptures. The Bible said, therefore, take the shield of faith. What is the shield of faith? the confession of the word of God shields your faith of every fiery dart, because the enemy will throw fiery darts at your faith. He will attack your faith with fear, attack your faith with shame, attack your faith with unbelief, attack your faith with intimidation, with threats and everything, insecurity, attack your faith to neutralize your faith. You got to come to a place and learn how to say, no weapon, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You need to declare what is written. Are you hearing me, somebody? You need to learn to say, get your loins and you shall be broken in pieces. Take your counsel and it shall come to naught. Speak your word, make your prediction. It shall not stand, for God is with us. Lift up your hands, shout yes. Put your hands together, give God some praise. Sit down. Hear me. Stop being naivete. Stop being naive. The Americans said naivete. Stop being naive, thinking that because God has promised you, it should just happen. No. There's an adversary. His name is Satan. And his job is to raise contention and dispute over the will. To say, you can't have it. You also must stand your ground and say, you can't deny me. You can't deny me. You can't deprive me. I'm coming into full inheritance of everything God said is mine. See, I hear you. Come with me to 1 Timothy 1. 8, Timothy 1, 18 and 19.
This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. Mm-hmm. According to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare.
That thou by them mightest relax. Clap your hands. Worship. Give thanks. But thou by them what?
Might war a good warfare.
It's war. This thing is war. And Christians, we are very lazy compared to other religions. When I was in Israel, they observe their Sabbath. They pray Jude. They pray three times a day. Other religions, more than three times a day. Praying the same thing over and over again. We are the only religion that we have no discipline and no timetable of prayer. In the name of grace, we take everything for granted. We pray when we want to. Pray when we feel like praying. These people, the Jews, they pray whether they feel like it or not. It's not about feelings. They observe the Sabbath and the rules of engagement of their religion. We take everything for granted and just expect everything to happen. We get weary, give up on everything, get tired over everything, have no respect and value for what is ours. The reason why Abraham left the land of promise and went to Egypt and had all the problems he had was because he didn't have value for the land. I'm telling you, he didn't have value for what God gave him. And what the enemy does to us is, we get the promise, Satan puts up a fight, and as soon as we see the fight, we quit. That's it. And he takes hold, like what happened to Jerusalem when they came into the promised land. There was a group of people who took over Jerusalem. And nobody could enter Jerusalem. They entrenched themselves in Jerusalem. The Bible calls them the blind and the lame. How can the blind and the lame capture the capital city? And nobody could enter until a young man by the name of David came on the scene and said, it's time. It's time. It's time to make a difference. It's time to be a game changer. It's time to take what is ours. And David invaded Jerusalem and took over Jerusalem and made it the capital of Israel. And there is still a fight over Jerusalem up to today because they did not take it in the beginning when they came in. So they allowed a pattern to prevail, and it has continued up to today. There are some fights. If you don't fight it, it will live to face your children tomorrow. There are some victories. If you don't secure it today, the subsequent generations will come and battle unnecessary battles. The fight between Goliath and Israel was not the fight of David. It was the fight of King Saul. It became David's fight when Saul went into hiding. And every man of war went into hiding. A young man who was not ready for war was exposed to unnecessary battle. I pray that our children will not be exposed to battles that they are not ready for, and battles that they should not fight, because their fathers and their mothers, through ignorance, go into hiding and relinquish their rights to the enemy. And look at the 19th verse. If you don't war a good affair, you will shipwreck. Go ahead.
Holding faith and a good conscience,
yes,
which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck.
Shipwreck. Paul said, I have fought. A good fight of faith. Faith is a fight. It's not a luxury. It's not a philosophy. It's not logic. It's a fight. I've fought a good fight of faith. I've kept the faith. He said, I've kept it. I didn't lose my faith. I fought to the end. I pray for everyone here that you fight to the end, and that at the end, you will keep the faith and you will not lose your faith in God. Because when you lose your faith, you don't have anything else. You are finished. But with faith in God, everything is possible. See, I hear you. James chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. Even one more scripture, and I'll let you go.
Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone.
Faith without evidence, without a fight, is dead. No works, no proof, no evidence. Dead. May your faith come alive today. Go ahead.
Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works.
You say you have faith. Me, I have works. Proof.
It says, show me thy faith without thy works.
And
I will show thee my faith by my works.
That's it. That's the difference. You say you have faith. I'm not talking about faith only, but I'm talking about faith that produces. Fine. It's up to 18. 20. Up to 20.
Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and they tremble.
You see? So it's not enough to believe and say, I have faith. That's why 2 Corinthians 4:13, he says, according to what is written, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore we speak. So it's not enough to believe. You have to speak. You have to declare. You have to confess what you believe. I believe I shall not die, but I will outlive all my enemies and walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Psalm 116 verse 8 and 9. I believe my soul is delivered from death, my feet from stumbling and falling, yea, my eyes from tears, and I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. If you believe it, put your hands together and say yes. The enemy wants you to live by your feelings, the way you feel. I don't live my feelings. I don't declare my feelings and my fears. I confess the word. I confess the scriptures. I allow the word of God to override my feelings. I override my feelings and my fears by scripture. Yesterday I was dealing with something and somebody looked and said, Papa, are you okay? And I said, I'm fine. And said, you don't look okay. And I said, I'm dealing with some things, but I'm overriding it. The enemy is throwing fiery darts at me, shooting arrows, sending demonic injections and residues, but I'm blocking it. I'm overriding it. And I stood my ground and said, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to be overwhelmed. You will not override me with your projection, with your ill wills, with your evil wishes and imagination. I override in the name of Jesus. I interrupt, I block it, I shut it off, I disengage, disentangle my emotions, my mind from every projection and attack of the adversary. Don't sit down there and look at me some way. Say something that you believe from the word. Are you hearing me, somebody? If you believe it, you must say it. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. But deliverance only comes when you confess with your mouth what you believe. And the Bible says, even the demons believe and they tremble. Believing is not enough. Got to go past belief to the place of declaration, proclamation. Got to confess it. You got to say it.
But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?
Again.
But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?
Faith without works is dead. Stop telling me you believe. Show me some action. Show me some proof. You see, a good lawyer does not win his case by knowing the law or being articulate. He wins his case in the court of law by the evidence he produces. If you have faith, prove it. I dare you today, stand your ground, contend for your Father's will. Contend for your inheritance. Don't let any stranger take what is yours. Don't let what your father worked for, pay the price for, to fall in the wrong hands. Stand your ground. Tell the devil you are not having what is mine. I will not be denied. I said I will not be denied. Tell somebody I will not be denied. I refuse to be denied of what is mine. In the name of Jesus. Put your hands together and give God praise. I will not be denied. Marakuta. Hebrews 6, off to 20. And we'll pray. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12 to 20.
That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises.
Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Don't hold back. Go ahead.
For when God made promise to Abraham.
Go back to 13 again. Go back.
12.
12, yeah.
That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience.
Followers of them who through faith and patience obtain the promise. There's a promise. There's an inheritance. And faith. It's a vehicle that gives you and I the capabilities to inherit it. Without faith, you are stuck. You shipwreck. You can't walk to America from Ghana. You need a plane or a ship. And faith is one of those weapons and vehicles required, necessary, mandatory to transport you from here to there. And when you lose faith, you have nothing. And therefore the Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10 and 17. Don't tell me I don't have faith. Everybody has a measure of faith. Whether your faith is strong or great or small or little or weak depends on what you are doing with the word of God. You are who you are for a reason. You are where you are for a reason. I dare you from today, rise up to the occasion. And if your father's will is worth fighting for, then put up a fight and tell the devil, I will not be denied. Say, I will not be denied. I will not be stopped. I cannot be stopped. I will not be stopped. I'm crossing the line. I'm breaking through by the blood of the covenant. I'm coming for what is mine. If you believe it, put your hands together. Shout yes. Point your finger and say, I'm breaking through now. Say, through the blood of the covenant, I declare, you can't stop me. I'm unstoppable. I'm coming against every obstacle, every fiery dart, every invisible wall and barrier. I'm breaking through now in the name of Jesus. Shout yeah! Go ahead.
For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself.
He swore by himself. Saying,
surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie,
he cannot lie,
we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth.
We have an anchor. I need that song before we close. Go ahead.
Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which
sure and steadfast,
which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
God cannot lie. I said he cannot lie. Your father didn't lie when he wrote the will. He didn't lie when he put you in the will and specifically allocated certain portion of his wealth for you. He did not lie. He meant it. So don't let anybody confuse you. Don't let any devil confuse you. Let no circumstances confuse you. Don't sit here and look like a puppet and let the devil override you. You are a child of the King. Are you hearing me, somebody? You are the redeemed of the Lord. You are not a beggar. You are your father's daughter and your father's son. Rise to the occasion. Put up a fight. Stand your ground. Rebuke every distraction. Take possession of your possession. Put your hands together. Open your mouth. Tell the devil, I'm taking hold and claim of my inheritance now. Wherever you are, stand on your feet. Put your hands together. Open your mouth. Take hold of what is yours. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Don't just stand there. Put up a fight. Open your mouth. Put your hands together. Fight for your husband. Fight for your wife. Fight for your children. Contend for your prophecy, promise, inheritance, your children, your loved one. Put up a fight. Tell the devil, I will not be denied. I will not be denied. I will not be denied. My children will not be denied. You know, hear me. Let me give you one more bullet. If your father's will is in court and the judge is still sitting on the case, and according to the will, your portion of the will is $10 million, but you are in court, you can't access it because it's in court. Does that mean the will has lied? Does that mean that what the will says is not true because you don't have it? Does that mean that is the end of it? The case is still in court. I rule on your behalf by divine authority that the case is hereby dismissed. And that your father's wish in the will is enforced on your behalf. That the case is determined and decided in your favor from this day. I declare by the blood of the covenant, case dismissed. Case dismissed. Every charge, every contention and dispute is hereby dismissed in the name of Jesus. Let the case be decided in your favor. Put your hands in the open your mouth. Declare that prayer right now. Break contention and dispute over the promise. Break spell, contention, dispute over the promise, over the inheritance, over the will. Put your hands together. Open your mouth. Command every contention over the will. Break contention, dispute over your faith. Break over the inheritance. Break. 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 Open your mouth. Block the contention.
We know that you were blessed by that message, and we look forward to sharing God's word with you once again. For more information on this and many other Action Chapel International products and messages, you may visit our Dominion Bookshop located on the premises of Action Chapel, Spintex Road. Or you may call our offices on 030-701-1851. Or you may also visit us online at www.actionchapel.net. Once again, thank you for joining us today, and may your life continue to be changed in God's presence.